We're also going to talk about what it means to just fear and how that can affect our relationship with God and others. Aslan is the main character in C.S. Lewis's The Chronicles of Narnia series. How many of you are familiar with that? You saw it last night, huh? Yes, it was on. I recorded it. He is the great lion of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and his role in Narnia is developed throughout the remaining chronicles. Aslan is also the only character to appear in all 7 books of the series. Aslan is Turkish for a lion. He is depicted as a talking lion and described as the king of beasts, the son of the emperor over the sea, and the king above all kings in Narnia. Aslan is wise. He's compassionate. Magical authority. A mystery and a benevolent guide to the human children who visit Narnia, and the guardian and savior of Narnia. He's described as an alternative version of Christ, that is, as the form in which Christ might have appeared in a fantasy world. Aslan. We know, as Christians, that Jesus was no fantasy. He was a real Lion of Judah. And we sing that song, Lion of Judah. And so when you talk about the fear of the Lord, you see this Lion of Judah. And in some ways, you fear him, you have a reverence for him. But also, he removes fear from your life. You see, in the Bible, the word fear is expressed in 2 main ways. One, the fear of God. And 2, the fear of everything else. The fear of God and the fear of everything else. When we take a look at how important it is to fear God, we really have no reason to fear. The only thing we should fear is what? Fear itself. Fear is a common emotion. We all have fears. What were some of the fears shared during your fellowship break? Yes. Fear of flying. Yes. Yes, you hear that, Pop? Fear of flying. My father-in-law used to jump out of airplanes. So whenever we have a man-to-man discussion, he always says, have you jumped out of an airplane? And I go, no, I've never jumped out of a perfectly good airplane, and don't plan on it. These are not wings. Yes. Fear of temptation. Okay, all right, we talked about that several weeks ago, the tests and the trials that God allows to happen in our lives. Sometimes we're fearful. We don't want those results of what it means to be tested by God. Yeah, fear. Fear of our hearts, which are deceitful above all, right? Drifting away from God, and then not seeing a need for God anymore and not making it to heaven. It's a fear, yeah. Fear of the future, absolutely. Fear of the future, yes. So he's what? Okay, all right. All right, so fearing Satan? Okay, all right. So you don't fear anything? So you don't fear anything? All right, well, shoot. All right, then. Yes. Fear of failure. Fear of failure. Yeah, it's a big one. Yeah. Lee. Wow. Fear of losing a loved one, fear of being trapped, and fear of going to jail. All right, yes. Not being safe. Safe, okay, not being safe, okay, yes. Yes. Oh, your parents getting divorced. We're not going to let that happen. No, no. We're going to kill them before that. No, I'm just joking. Murder. No, no. Your parents love God and they love one another. But that is a fear, right? A fear of divorce, yeah. Fear of clowns. Yeah, It was on last night. I bet you didn't see It, did you? Yeah, no, she goes, no, I didn't see It. No, yes. Hmm. Yeah. Fear of what? Drowning and fear of something happening to your kids. Big fear. Yeah. Fear of rejection. Fear of rejection. I mean, you give it your all and you feel rejected, whether it's by somebody you love, somebody you don't know, a job, a situation. I mean, you know, we constantly are in that threat, the threat of rejection. Every day we feel like we can be rejected, or that's a reality sometimes in our lives. Yeah, one more. Yes, Bill. Fear of the unknown. Fear of the unknown. You know, you guys got all the ones I put down. Fear of trying things new. Fear of being open with your life. Because the last time I was open, somebody did this or said that. So I'm not going to be open anymore. The fear of being alone, I think somebody said that. What did Jesus teach his disciples about fear? Yes. Don't fear the ones who can destroy the body. Fear the one who can destroy the body and soul in hell. Some of our fears in this world, Jesus is like, why are you fearing man? Why are you fearing man? He taught him that. He taught him that. And I think it was good that he did, because all of them except one were martyred for their faith. A good teaching. Somebody back there, yes. Yes, uh-huh. Fear of not following Jesus. Okay, fear of not following. Okay. What did he challenge his disciples on when it comes to, what did he teach them about fear? Yes. Our by our faith will overcome the world. Okay, take heart. I have overcome the world. He says, do not fear, take heart. I have overcome the world. You know what he teaches them more than anything? To not fear. To not fear. You say? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. I like those. I like those. Y'all wrote that down? Yes. Yeah, don't be anxious for nothing. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worry of its own. Understand and treasure today. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Walking on water, why did you doubt? Have faith in me. And sometimes, now we all do it, we hear what Jesus taught his disciples about fear, and yet we still fear. And yet we go, well, those are suggestions. No, Jesus is saying, listen, if your fear will hinder your reverence of me, it will sabotage it. So do not fear. Don't fear man. Don't fear situations. Don't fear tomorrow. Do not do it. You can't respect and revere and think I'm awesome and fear things on this earth. I am the Lion of Judah. Either I am or I'm not. Either I'm the king or I'm not. And sometimes the disciples go, you know, I just have this trouble with, I'm fearing today. Well, stop it. Change your mind. grab courage. Grab a hold of God. He wants us to reach out to Him. He is the Lion of Judah. Perfect love. Are you looking at my notes? 1 John 4. You're a thief. 1 John 4. John, the Apostle John, reminds or shares with these brothers and sisters that fear, when fear is present, the presence of active love is gone. When fear is present, when we don't deal with fear, we can no longer embrace the unconditional, benevolent, amazing love of God. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So John says. John reminds them that Jesus came to deliver them from all fears. He came to cast out the fear of meeting the necessities of life. The fear of man. The fear of judgment. The fear of hell. You know, as disciples, we should be the most courageous people on the face of this earth. Can I get an amen on that? Perfect love drives out fear. The scripture tells us how to have something everybody wants to have. Perfect love. It tells us how to get rid of something everybody wants to get rid of. Fear. John tells them how to have confidence or boldness on the day of judgment. Wow. On the day of judgment. He tells them how to cast fear out of their lives. Can you imagine having no fear on the day of judgment? Have you thought about that? Have you thought about that? If you're a Christian, have you thought about that? That on Judgment Day, we're going to be like, thank God you are my defender. Thank God I am blameless. I'm covered by the blood. And if you're not a Christian this morning, you need to fear that. Why? Because we want everybody to be confident on the day of judgment. Because our Lion is here. He has rescued us. Get rid of fear. Getting rid of fear is the negative way of saying become confident. Trust in the Lion of Judah. Trust in Jesus. John's main point, he wants them to enjoy their confidence before God. He doesn't want them to be paralyzed or depressed by the fear of judgment. He says there is no fear. There is absolutely none. Fear is ruled out. This withdrawal, this terror, this fleeing because of feeling inadequate or feeling that I don't have the resources. And well, that's fear. When you don't have the resources, when you're feeling inadequate, he says, perfect love, there is no fear, rather, in love. It's ruled out in this benevolent, divine love. He says, perfect love. You know what that word means? It means mature, full grown, complete, functions at full strength. It can't get any better. You're talking about a love that can't get any better. He says, have no fear in this kind of love because this perfect love, it literally casts, throws away, and drops fear. It eliminates it. How does perfect love drive out fear in our lives as Christians? How does it do it practically? How does it do it for you? Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yes. Mm. Yes. That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, she said, going to God's word, knowing that she is insufficient, can't do it, doesn't have enough brain power, doesn't know the future. She has to go to God's word, and sometimes, often, until those fears are dropped, until the word of God highlights it or supersedes the fear. And that's a perfect way for us as Christians. We gotta go to the word of God. We have to dig in it. We got to wrestle with it. We got to submit to it. Because in and of ourselves, we can't overcome fear. Gene. Yep. Yep. That's right. That's right. You know, Jesus, think about it, walking with the 12, they saw him often. He withdrew and he would pray and he would cast his anxieties to God. And so they saw that it's okay to be fearful because we're going to be fearful, but how do we deal with that? Jesus gave them a great pattern. He prayed. He cried out to God, loud cries and tears. He called out to God. He gave them an example. So are we saying you're sinning if you fear? Well, no. But if you stay in it, if you stay in your temptation, it's going to harden your heart. Lead us not into temptation. Don't let us stay in that temptation. But cast our anxieties to the Lord. Yes, my Bill. Mm. Yes. There you go. Yep. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Read the Bible, pray, recount all the ways that God has rescued you. God is saying, can you look at my resume? Can you look at my resume? Have I ever failed you? Have I ever failed you? So don't fear. Don't fear. You know, fear. A fear that God does not want us to go into and to remain involves punishment. 1 John 4, fear has to do with what? Punishment. Punishment. Fear has to do with punishment. How many of us feared our parents? Spanking. The belt. The switch. The hand, whatever mama could find. We feared punishment. Punishment. And that's a fear that we have to get over because God's not out to punish us. And we know as parents, sometimes we can go over the top. We can be more angry than we are indignant. Involves punishment, chastisement, torment. If we're fearful, we're not full grown yet in love. We're still afraid of life's surprises. And that's why sanctification is necessary. You overcome this barrier, as Bill said, you look back, you go, God's done this, so surely he can do this. So we look at his resume and we go, I can grow in this, let me trust God in this. This is it. I mean, none of us are just like, you know, trial free this morning. We all have obstacles we have to overcome. We all share that together. But fear has to do with punishment. Sometimes we got to be confident that God doesn't want to punish. He wants a discipline. But we can't get this reaction when we blow it or fail. God's not that kind of God. The entrance of perfect love is a notice for fear to quit, as McLaren said. Perfect love produces courage. Now, tomorrow, and on the day of judgment. On the day of judgment. Imagine, again, what it would mean to have confidence on the day of judgment. Perfect love produces confidence and no fear. Now, what does it mean to fear God? To truly have the Lion of Judah erase and drop all fears, but what does it mean to fear in a healthy way? And this is where I believe we don't talk about this enough. The fear, the awesome, the extreme reverence for God. A reverence for God. Did anyone, when you were sharing on the fellowship break, did anyone say they feared God? Okay. Now, to make it fair, I didn't say what fear, the definition of fear was that I was sharing. I just wanted to know if anybody said, I fear God. We went to what? The other fear. Rarely do we hear, I fear God. I respect him so much. Is fear necessary, this kind of fear, necessary in a relationship with God? Why? Why do you think it's important to fear, have reverence for God? Yeah. What's that? Bring us back to reality, okay? To get us to think higher, deeper, okay? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay, all right. Okay, awesome, yeah. We put ourselves ahead of them. Okay, yes. There's no way that we can follow God. Like we talk about our foundation statement, follow, be transformed, and join. You can't follow if you don't fear God. If you don't respect God, you're not going to follow him. Or you're only going to follow when you want to, when it's convenient. And you're going to go, not today. Or that's too much, or that's not enough, or we'll pick and choose. Why is it important to fear God? Yeah. Keep you from being afraid of anything else, and it keeps us from sinning. Yeah. Yes. Great. Yes. Great point. She says, when you fear your mother, your father, that's compliance. Okay, I'll do it because you said so, because I don't want to get a spanking, I don't want to get time out, or I don't want to get killed. But a fear of God leads to conviction. if you lose your fear of God, you lose your conviction. Your conviction. Yes. Okay, so perfect love drives out fear. And so when we fear, we have a reverence for God, then you're saying we can love him. Okay? All right, yeah, one more. John? Yeah. Yeah. God has the power to send us to heaven or hell. Sometimes we don't even want to think of a God who will allow us to go to hell. We don't like even people talking about that in a sermon. Maybe we've watered Christianity down a little bit and not really understood that in Psalm 111, verse 10, the psalmist writes, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belong eternal praise." The psalmist in Psalm 111 is praising the Lord. I mean, lifting him high. No man acts wisely who does not fear the Lord. It's saying it's not just unwise not to fear him, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't fear him, you don't have any wisdom. This fear is a respect for his law, his will, his government. What hinders man from fearing God? What hinders us from fearing God? To really think of God as an awesome God or in a reverent way is the chief, it's the first choice, it's the priority of wisdom. And wisdom is a skill, a victory. It's a practice. It's how you live. It's not just information. It's how you live it out. So if you don't fear God, you can't live out his will. You can't. Having a fear and respect for God will lead to wisdom that will help us lead a awesome, amazing, victorious, godly life. Isn't that awesome? That we don't have to figure it out. God already has. He's created us. He wants us to trust in him. We have victory if we follow. But the reverence, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't fear him this morning, you'll never get wisdom. And let me show you how it plays out. And I need your help with this, okay? There are three words I want us to think about. And that's helped me to understand and put in perspective what it means to live out a Christian life, okay? To respect God's word. The first word is the word essential. What's absolutely necessary, extremely important, and crucial, okay? The second word is important, of great significance or value, likely to have a profound effect on success. And the last one is preferred. What we like better than another or others, we tend to choose these things that we prefer. How does that work out practically in our lives? Let's give a couple examples. Let's say getting a job. Now let's say it's essential to have job A. It's essential to have a high school diploma to get job A. All right, it's absolutely necessary, it's extremely important, it's crucial to have a high school diploma. Now, follow me. What is also important about job A? What do you think? It's essential to have a high school diploma. What's important in this job A, you think? Give me an example of what's important, yeah. Certain set of skills. Okay, what else? Your attire, okay, that's important, okay. What else? Can you get to work? All right, yes. Experience, okay, yes. Can you follow instructions? That's important, yeah. Dedication and determination? What about salary? You said salary? You said salary. I mean, if you don't make enough money, don't get the job. Yeah, I mean, you need to be able to have enough money to live, right? What else is essential? I'm sorry, important in a job. What do you think? Can you work with people? All right, okay. Now what's preferred in job A? What's preferred, yeah? Okay. Okay, a certification. I'm talking about just for like you seeking the job. Like what's preferred? Yeah. Weekends off? Yeah, weekends off. I love to, you know, Monday through Friday, weekends off. That's what I prefer. Yeah. Gotta like it. Love to like it. That may be even important. I don't know, but it's preferred. Okay, yeah. Enough space for your stuff. All right, spoken with conviction. Yes. Opportunities to advance. That's preferred, yeah. Paid vacation. I want to be in a warm climate. It's preferred, right? Kidding? Pleasant people to work with all 5 days of the week, especially in the morning. Yes. A window, a plant, and a parking space, right? All right. Okay, now you're seeing. I mean, it's what we prefer. It's what we want. It's what we like better than something else. Now, it's not important. It's definitely not essential. But doggone it, we want it, right? Now let's break that down when it comes to God's Word. God's Word. What's essential about our approach to God's Word? What's essential? Yeah. What's that? Reading the Word, okay? Reading the Word, yeah. Okay. Understand the source. Understand it as being the foundation. When the storms hit, the foundation of the Word is going to keep us sturdy. It's going to keep us alive. What else? Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. To know it. Okay. Let's say I can quote it, but I don't apply anything to it. It's essential that I not only know it, but I apply it. The Bible talks about that. I obey it. Okay, now, what's important in regards to the Word? Now, what's a great significance or value likely to have a profound effect on our success? Yes. Okay. Okay, so you don't stop, but you move on and you're mature. Yeah. Okay. Meditate. Okay. Yeah, if you want to be successful in obeying the Word of God, you got to put it on your heart. You got to put it on your heart. You can't just go read and go, oh, great, an intellectual exercise. You got to let it come down to the heart. That's important. What about knowing the context? If you just read it and you don't know why it was written, to whom it was written, and how you can apply it to your life, you're gonna misread it. Read it in context. Understand who was he writing to, why was he writing, and then apply it to your life. Allowing it to penetrate the heart, like we talked about. Now, what's preferred in reading the Bible? What's a preference? Okay, you can pick pieces of the Word that's comfortable to your life. Okay, all right. Yeah, we can just go to Psalm. We can go to Proverbs. We can go to Corinthians. Yeah. Okay, that's preferred. what's preferred about the word? I mean, and like our choice. Like, yeah. Translation, New American Standard, NIV, King James. What do you prefer? Okay, yes, what else? Okay, you're old school, all right, okay. What about reading it in the morning versus reading it at night? Yeah. No, yes. Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah, it's essential that the Spirit works on you and in you and through you. The Word of God is living and active, sharpening a double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Man, you don't want to quench that Spirit. Last one, yeah. Mm-hmm. After, get some history, right? So you see, essential, important, and preferred. If we could do this in every area of our lives, I'm talking about, what about our marriages? You know, Carlin and I, what we strive to do, especially when there's conflict, you know what we try to do? What's essential, babe? In our conflict, what's essential? What are we arguing about? What does God say we're arguing about? What's the heart of what we're arguing about in the Word? What are we doing? And then what's important? And what's preferred? Do you realize that when we have conflict, it's because we both are allowing our preferences to be essentials? We're going, thus say A.B. And thus saith Carlin. I am the Word. I am the Word. I mean, and so that's what produces the conflict. But you know how well we get along when we go, what's essential? And let's drop all of these preferred things. What about in parenting with our children? Oh, he just gets me upset. Or she just does this, gets on my nerve. Well, what's essential in our parenting? What's important? What's preferred? Oh, you don't prefer they do that. Well, then are you going to the essentials in the Word and training your child in the Word? What about worship? Worship. I don't like when Doug does that or Leon does this. Well, is that essential? Or is that preferred? Is that your preference? You see, if we can live life like that, it will keep us in the fear of the Lord and will be the beginning of wisdom. What about money? What's preferred? $1 million. What's important? Shelter, food, clothing. What's essential? Bills. What's that? Bills. What's essential biblically about money? Well, yeah. What's that? Not loving it. Not loving it. Yeah. Be a good steward. You see, we have to bring out the essentials in our lives. We know a lot in this church. We know a lot, but it's our knowledge turning into wisdom. And it's going to turn into wisdom when we fear God. When we fear the Word of God. What about conflict? You have any conflicts? Are they still conflicts? They are if you approach them in a preferred manner. But if they are essential, then you resolve that conflict before you take communion. We have gotten in habits, all of us. We've listened to our own dialogues. We prefer a lot. We got to start fearing the Lord and going to the essentials. My prayer of this series on the fear of God is that we'll be able to better understand what it means to fear God, what it really means to fear God. And in that fear and respect and reverence will, in fact, remove all fears from our lives. When we take the Lord's Supper, we are reminded that we can live in this world as confident children of the Almighty, knowing that perfect, mature love, like we see on the cross, will drive out all fears. Will drive out all fears. Fear has to do with what? Punishment. The cross removes all punishment. And as a church, we say, amen. So when we take communion now, let's remember what Jesus said. Do this in remembrance of me, the Lion of Judah. You have all safety in me. And you need to fear me because I was in that grave for 3 days. And I rose. And I rose. And I rose for you. And I rose for you. And I rose for you. And I rose so that you can rise every day and overcome the world. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much. And Father, you are the Lion of Judah. And Father, you are the great I am. Father, forgive us for our arrogance, our apathy, our distractions. Help us, Father, to lift you high and to see you clearly, to see you higher than we see church or the flesh or our trials and struggles and challenges. I pray that, Father, individually and collectively, we will lift you up. Father, we focus on the cross now. We focus on how Jesus was lifted up. And Father, he drew all men to himself. Father, I pray that we would be drawn to you this morning. Father, we would be drawn not only to your love and the way that you surrendered your life for us, but Father, we will be drawn to the power that exists in our lives, your sovereignty and your presence, your omnipotence. Father, we praise you and we prepare and pray that this week will be one that will glorify you each day, that we will remember the essentials in our lives. Father, it's essential that we fear you. We love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
There is a mighty spirit shining out across the sky. He's calling out the weary to green pastures. Come and lie. There is a mighty spirit crossing barren land. He's sowing love unceasing. Fresh fruit spring from the same. Harvest time is coming. The reaper's in his hand. Go tell everybody that love love is his command. There is a
prepare for, I guess, our series, I'd love for us to think about two questions that I pray that you can meditate on, think about, pray about. And it just so happens that this Wednesday and Thursday in our midweeks, we're going to be talking about Ananias and Sapphira. And so that is definitely a fear of the Lord kind of scripture. But I wanted you to ask yourself a question. It's very simple. Do you fear the Lord? Do you? And before you go, of course, pray about it. Meditate on it. Think about it. Allow God's word to answer that for you. And then the second question is, does that fear drive all fears away in your life? Does it drive out all fears? Could you imagine in your life all fears being driven away daily? It really does depend on our fear, our reverence, our respect for our God.